Well, happy Charo Days, y'all. That's my dad. Hey, I'm Pastor Bo. Yesterday, I was at the Brownsville Sports Park. We were participating in the God Loves You Tour. I am so proud of all of our BCF people who are out there serving, manning resource tents, helping people, a huge group of us out there on the field praying with people who invited Jesus Christ into their lives. Hey, just by show of hands, how many of you were out there yesterday? Oh man, that's awesome. How did it make you feel? I hear awesome. Say it again.
Tired.
This guy was all over the place. Friends, this is what God has created us to do. Last night, as Franklin Graham is leading people to stand and receive Jesus Christ, there's a young man standing behind me just sobbing. It's like he's speaking right to me. I need Jesus. And afterwards, I got to talk with him and pray with him and give him a copy of the Gospel of John and get him started on his life with Jesus Christ. Friends, we had an opportunity to be a blessing to the city of Brownsville. And you seize that opportunity. As your pastor, I am so, so proud of you. This is for you. Friends, this is the reason that God put us here on this earth. We are created to be a blessing to others. We're in part 5 of our series, Called. And we're answering that question, why am I here? Why did God put me on this planet? Is it just to take up space? You know, eat, drink, work, sleep, repeat? No. Here's what the Bible says in Ephesians 2:10. We are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. If you have a pen or a pencil, I want you to circle that word, masterpiece. Masterpiece. In the original language, the Greek word is poema. Some of you are like, I know that word. Yes, that's also where the Spanish word poema comes from. But you didn't know, you knew Greek, huh? This is where we get the English word poem. Because every poem is individually crafted and worked on by the poet. Every masterpiece work of art is hand-created, lovingly crafted by the artist. And friends, you are a masterpiece. You don't mass-produce a masterpiece. Now, you can make copies of a masterpiece, but God did not say you are a copy. You are his masterpiece. You are not like anything or anyone else. He created you individually for a purpose, to do good things he created just for you. We discover what that calling is by getting involved, by answering the 5 callings that God has for all of us. A few weeks ago, we saw the first calling. God called you to be loved. God created you to love you. And God wants you to love him back. That is our response. And when we love God back, we call that worship. God created you to worship. Then we saw that God called you to belong in his family with God's people. So we respond by connecting to a church family. And last Sunday, we saw 28 of you at our membership 101 class, and you said, I want to be part of BCF Church. We want you in this family. Last week, David Kretz shared that God called us to become. We are called to become like his son, Jesus. And we respond to this calling by growing in our relationship with Jesus. And this is all a wonderful part of what God has called us and created us to be. And as I think of these things, I look forward to heaven. Because one day in heaven, we will be in the presence of God, receiving his love and responding to him in worship forever and ever. And one day in heaven, we will be surrounded by all of God's family from throughout history. And one day in heaven, we will be perfect, just like Jesus. And as I think about these things, I think heaven is so wonderful. I want to be there, and I wonder, so why am I here? If heaven is so much better and heaven's where I want to be, why does God still have me here on this earth? I want you to write this down. This is why you are here. I am here. I am called to be a blessing. This is the fourth calling in your life. God created you. He called you to be a blessing. Here's what the Bible says. God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other, passing on to others God's many kinds of blessings. God called you to be a blessing. Now, if you have a pen or a pencil, I want you to underline that phrase, each of you. Each of you. Now, question, does the phrase each of you include me, Pastor Bo? Yes. Thank you for saying yes. Now, I have a bigger question. Does that include you? Yes. Some of you think so. Does that include you?
Yes.
Yes. I want you to say this out loud with me. I am called to be a blessing. Say that with me. I am called to be a blessing. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. God created you and called you to be a blessing. Let's say that again. I am called to be a blessing. So what does that mean? That means from now until I get to heaven, my life, my calling in life is to be a minister of Jesus Christ. Now, some of you are saying, whoa, 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 Pastor Bo, I just walked into church the first time today, and you're saying I'm supposed to be a preacher? That is not what I'm saying. But I understand your confusion because we often equate pastor with minister. Because in many churches, the pastor functions as the minister. The pastor does all the ministry. You know, the pastor greets people, and the pastor visits the sick, and the pastor goes to the hospital, and the pastor does the weddings and the funerals, and the pastor does all the baptizing, and the people of the church just sort of show up each week, and hey, watch the pastor show. Do you know, that is not how Jesus intended for the church to function. Here's what the Bible says. Christ gave to the church, that's us, the pastors and teachers. That's me. Their responsibility, my responsibility, is to equip God's people. That's you. Equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. So my job as a pastor is to equip you to do the work. Write this down. All God's people are ministers. Pastors are here to equip you for ministry. Our job, and it's not just to tell you to do the work, our job is to help you, to give you the tools, to show you how to do the work. And so as a pastor, and as the other pastors here at BCF Church, as we do the work, we invite you to join us. And so our people at BCF Church visit the sick, and our people greet, and our people serve in the children's wing, and our people are serving coffee and cookies, and our people, some are trained to do weddings and to do funerals, and we're even training them to preach, and our people do the baptisms. Our people are the ministers, and our job is to give you the tools to equip you for ministry. You are the ministers of Jesus Christ. Here's what the Apostle Paul wrote. God, in his grace, chose me even before I was born and called me to serve him. You know what was true of the Apostle Paul is true of you. God called you. God chose you. Before you were born, God called you and chose you to serve him. He created you. He called you to be a blessing, to be a minister of Jesus Christ. And at this point, some of you are like, God wants me. The church wants me. I've got gifts. I'm supposed to use them. Sign me up. And some of you are thinking, I really just don't have time for that. What's in it for me? Now, you're too polite to say that out loud, but you're thinking it. So today, I want to share with you three amazing benefits when we start serving. What will happen if I use my life to serve and bless others? Three amazing benefits. Benefit number one, serving will create joy in my life. Now, the world tells us if you want to be happy, if you want joy, you should focus on number one. You know, try to get more stuff, more money, pursue pleasure. And if I do these things, then I will be happy. Friends, if being selfish could make us happy, Americans should be the happiest people on the planet. But you know we're not. This last week, I was doing some research, and I saw that we, as the United States, rank number two of the most percentage, the highest percentage of our population experiencing major depression. We are the second most depressed people in the world. Number two, we were only beat out by Ukraine. And they are in the middle of a war. We're depressed. We're not happy. We are selfish. So what is the solution? The solution is to serve. It takes the focus off me and puts it on someone else. That brings us joy. Here's what the Apostle Paul wrote. He wrote to the Philippian church, "My life is being poured out as part of the sacrifice and service that I offer to God on your behalf, that I offer to God for your faith." So Paul is saying, I am serving, I am pouring out my life for you guys. But he's not complaining. He says, yet I am filled with joy. Underline that, filled with joy. And I share that joy with all of you. Paul says, I serve you, I'm pouring out my life for you, and that gives me joy. Today, I want you to hear from a group of people, just a small group of the many in our church who find joy in serving. Watch this.
I serve in the children's ministry in CR with the worship team, and I also serve with the young adults. The young adults is my home, is where I met most of my friends, and I love the experience and the fun that we can have while worshiping and while doing everything together under the Lord as a team.
I serve here at BCF Church. I do the greeting. I do the ushering with all my church family. I love the church family that's with me. They serve with me. It's just a wonderful joy to do this. And I love serving the people. And I do it for my Lord Jesus.
Currently, I serve on the accounting ministry. Prior to that, I did the cleaning team for maybe 10 plus. Well, I am an accountant, so I guess it's cheating a little bit because it comes easy for me, just numbers. And it's been a pleasure to be able to assist and develop some good friendships over the years, and it's been great.
I serve as a greeter on Sundays and in the nursery in the children's ministry. So I find it very rewarding as a greeter to welcome the families and the children into our service, and just to see everybody smile and to be able to give someone a hug brings peace into my heart also.
I serve on Wednesday nights with BCF Youth. I am a youth leader for the 8th grade boys, and I also serve on Sunday mornings at 11:30 with the toddlers. Wednesday nights brings me joy because it's exciting to see my boys excited to speak and share during small groups. It's exciting to see them open up compared to when they first get there and they're closed off to us. And it's just cool to see the progress that they make in their faith.
I serve in the mornings, greeting, and second service, I serve in the nursery with my babies. Friday nights, I serve with my toddlers. They bring so much light to my heart. As the people coming in, as I greet, I could not be having a good day. They bring me joy. And I hope I do the same for them.
I serve on Sunday during the second service with my preschoolers, and on Wednesday nights I serve with BCF Youth, our middle school and high school students. On Sundays, while serving with my preschoolers, what brings me joy is seeing them memorize their Bible verses every week. They always get so excited when they memorize the whole verse, and I just love seeing that.
I serve as a singer and as an instrumentalist sometimes at the worship team. I pray that they will see Him, that they will see His glory through me. They will hear Him through me, because if they did, I did my job.
I serve in the music ministry here at BCF. I really love what I'm doing. The most joy is that I just love being around other musicians here at church, and I'm just glad that I could be a part of that.
You were called to be a blessing. You were created to serve Jesus Christ, and serving will bring you joy. Number two, serving will improve my relationships because it teaches me not to be selfish. See, I didn't realize how selfish I was as a person until I got married. Because suddenly there's this other person in my life with her own wants, her own needs, her own agenda, and they didn't always match with mine. It was a shock to the system. I did not realize how selfish I was. Now, my parents knew, but I didn't know. And then we had kids. And now was the not only was the world not revolving around Bo, I had these three little ones who needed everything from us. They depended on us to bathe them, to clean them, to change their dirty diapers, to feed them. And I had to learn to be unselfish, to serve others. How do we learn to serve? How do we learn to be unselfish? We learn to be like Jesus. Here's what Jesus said. Your attitude should be like my own. For I did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. Now, Jesus is our creator. He is our God. He is our King. He has the right to demand that we serve Him. But Jesus said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve and to give my life for many. And He said, I want you to be like me. I want you to learn to serve. Serving improves our relationships because it teaches us to be unselfish. It brings us joy. And number three, serving will make my life meaningful. I have had the privilege of speaking at many funerals, many memorial services. And whether the person was rich or poor, I never heard anyone When they shared what they remembered about that person, I've never heard anyone say, man, he was so rich. He had so much money. Wow, what a guy. Or she had just the best collection of shoes. I mean, one for every day of the year. That's amazing. They should put them in a museum. I never hear that. But what I do hear is, hey, he was there for me. He took time. He listened to me. Or she served. She served in our community. She served in our church. She served her family. Serving others, giving your time for others, gives our life meaning. This is why Jesus said, if you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will find true life. Circle those last two words, true life. True life comes from giving it away. If you try to hang on to possessions and stuff and things, one day you're going to lose it all. You don't take it with you. But if you give it away for Jesus, if you give your life to serve Him, you will find true life. You were called to be a blessing. You were created to serve others, to serve in His church. Now, at this point, many people have one of two objections. Objection number one, you don't really need me. Maybe you look around today and you think, man, they've got it all together. They don't really need me. Boy, do we have you fooled. We do need you. Here's what the Bible says. All of you together are the one body of Christ, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. Underline those words, separate and necessary. Each of you separately are necessary. We need you. And here's the truth. We are not going to grow without you. Maybe you look at our band each Sunday and you think, man, those guys are rock stars. They are knocking it out of the park each week. They don't need me. What you may not realize is our entire band is made up of volunteers. And if someone gets sick or they have to travel or they're on vacation, man, we're in a tough spot. If you have musical gifts, if you can sing, if you can play, we do need you. And that's true of every ministry here at BCF Church. We have some wonderful children's leaders right back there in our children's wing. And they serve each week. But you know what? We are only going to grow as a church if we have more people serving. One day, we want to add a third service to fit more people, to reach more people each week. But we can only do that when more of our people get involved and start serving. If you're not serving, we are missing out. All of us are missing out. Objection number two, and this is even more common, I'm not good enough to serve. Maybe this is you. Maybe you feel like, man, I've just messed up too much. I've sinned too badly. God couldn't use me again. Remember I mentioned the Apostle Paul earlier? He's the one who said, before I was born, God called me to serve him. What you may not know about Paul is that he used to persecute Christians. He used to hunt them down from city to city and chase them and lock them up. And he stood as a witness as some people were murdered for their faith in Jesus Christ. That was Paul. But God still called him to be a blessing. And so Paul wrote this. He said, Jesus, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I am the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst of sinners. Here's the truth. You cannot sin so bad that God won't forgive you and use you again. Maybe you feel like you're not qualified. Maybe you feel like I'm too young to serve, or I'm too old to serve, or I'm not smart enough, or I'm not educated enough, or I'm not skilled enough. Friends, it doesn't matter. Because in the Bible, we find that Abraham was old. Jacob was insecure. Moses stuttered. Samson was codependent. David had an affair and all kinds of family problems. Jeremiah was depressed. Peter was impulsive and hot-tempered. Martha worried. The Samaritan woman had 5 failed marriages. Zacchaeus was unpopular. Thomas had doubts. And the list goes on and on and on. And each of those people, God used them to build up his kingdom. So what's your excuse? God wants you. And we want you. When we're done here today, I don't want you to run off and go get lunch. I want you to stick around. We have some tables spread around the room of our different ministries, and I want to invite you to visit all of these tables and find a place to serve and get involved. Over here, we have our Front Lines Ministries tables. This is the first people you meet when you walk through the doors. This is our greeters, our ushers, our golf cart driver. This is our cookies and coffee table. This is our Front Lines team. Over in the back, we have our arts and production ministry. That's anything that happens on the stage, on the screen, on the speakers. That's our music ministry. That's our sound team. That's our lights team. Computer presentation, online streaming, Spanish interpretation. We have live Spanish interpretation at our 10 o'clock service. And over here, we have our behind-the-scenes table. We almost put it behind the curtain, but we thought, no, you won't be able to find them. But if you don't like being in the spotlight, this is the ministry for you. This is working behind the scenes. So this is our data entry people. This is our office volunteers. This is our campus care team. They come in on Saturdays and prepare the church building for Sunday. This is our prayer team. This is our mercy team, visiting the sick, visiting people in hospitals, decorating, gardening, beautification. That's all this over here. And then, finally, at the back, we have our life stages ministries. So all stages of life, that's our children's ministry, our youth ministry, that's middle school and high school. We have our new young adults ministry. We have our small groups. We've got Celebrate Recovery. We've got women's ministry. Wherever you are in life, we have a place for you in our life stages. There is a place for you to serve. Now, I know some of you are watching online. There's a QR code you can scan. So you're not out of this either. And you can find a place to serve. There are online hosts right now who are interacting with those who are watching online. You could be part of that team. Friends, and you're not saying, hey, I'm committing to this for the rest of my life. You're just saying, I'm interested. I just want to know more. Because, guys, I can't do this all myself. Our staff team can't do this all ourselves. If we are going to reach our city with the good news that Jesus loves them, it's going to take a whole army of us to say, Jesus, I'm here to serve you. I want my life to make a difference. Today, I'm going to call you to make one of four commitments. And that first one is to say, I'm giving Jesus Christ control of my life. Because until you give him control, you are missing out. Until you surrender to the one who made you a masterpiece, you are missing out on your life mission. That second one is, I will find my meaning by serving him. You're saying, God, you created me for a purpose. I want to find out what that purpose is. I will be your minister for the rest of my life. Third commitment, I want to invite you to find a place to serve right here in his church. We all grow when you start serving. And number four, maybe like the people in that video, you're already serving. You're already finding joy. Invite others to serve with you. Find your friends and say, hey, I'm serving here two or three times a month. I find so much joy here. I want you to be part of my team. In a little bit, we're going to release you to go and visit these tables. But the first choice you've got to make is to invite Jesus in. Jesus made you. He made you to love you. He made you to be his masterpiece. But you will never experience all that Jesus has for you until you say, Jesus, come into my life and change me. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And if this is your heart's desire, then I just invite you to pray with me. Just tell Jesus something like this. Dear Jesus, you came to earth not to be served, but to serve. To give your life in my place. Then say, Jesus, I believe. I believe you died for me and rose from the dead. Just tell him right now, Jesus, I believe. Please come into my life. Forgive me and change me. When you invite Jesus to come in, he will come in. He will change you from the inside out. Then call on him as your Lord. Say, be my Lord. That means be the owner of my life. I will serve you from now on. Just tell him that right now, and he will change your life. Heavenly Father, I lift up everyone who is here today, all our friends watching wherever they are in the world. Father, I pray that you would call them. Lord, I know you've called them and created them to be a blessing. Father, I pray that today they would start to discover what is it that you've created them for. Father, I pray that they would try new things. You'd give them that courage to try new things and find meaning and fulfillment by being your ministers. Pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.